When I was originally planning this service, I entitled it, Freeing Ourselves from the Bonds of the Gender Binary. I was imagining a worship service where we would talk about the difference between biological sex and gender, both the gender assigned at birth and the gender we discover as we age, which isn't always the same. I was envisioning a service where we would explore the idea of a world without the gender binary, because that binary is harmful, both to transgender people and cisgender people. But then the UU World magazine article came out a few weeks ago, and there was a swift response to it, particularly from trans leaders in our faith. To recap what happened, an article in the most recent edition of the magazine UU World was titled After L, G, and B. And it was aiming to discuss transgender issues and experiences within Unitarian Universalism. But even the title was squirm-worthy. In a response from the Transforming Hearts Collective, which is a UU organization of trans and queer folks, they said, quote, "The title gives the impression that trans people are an afterthought, that UUs have completed their understanding of and welcome of lesbian, gay, and bisexual people, and now we can move on to transgender people." The article, which was written by a cisgender woman, focused mostly on cis UU experiences of the visibility of more out trans people in the UU community. In short, it centered the learning and struggles of cis people, not the stories, voices, challenges, and joys of trans people. In a story about trans people, and to make matters worse, it became clear that both the author of the article and the editor of the magazine were told by a trans person that this article was going to be harmful before it was published, and that they shouldn't publish it, but they chose to anyway. So in reading the article and the responses and engaging in that dialogue online, it became clear to me that this service that I was envisioning was yet another failure to center trans voices. The gender binary hurts everyone, even cis people, is a true statement. But it is not appropriate to center the ways that cis people are harmed on Trans Day of Visibility. Just like all lives matter is in fact a true statement, it is not lived out that way in the world, and so Black Lives Matter emerged as a way to claim and celebrate the particular Black lives of having worth and value. Trans Day of Visibility today is a similar claiming of the value and power of trans life. And so I have heard it said that being an ally is not trying to amplify voices of other people. It is simply to pass the microphone. And so I'm going to do that. Let's hear directly from folks in our congregation who have offered to share with you a little bit of their lives and experience as people who are trans, genderqueer, or parenting a gender-expansive kid. I'm so grateful that Maura, Jacqueline, Willow, and Brian wanted to share this morning. May we receive what they have to offer us with a spirit of openness, joy, and celebration.
Hello. My name is Maura. My pronouns are she, her, and I've been coming to the fellowship. I'm 17, and I started here when I was around 4 or 5. So I wrote this poem, and I'd like to tell it to you today. What does it take for one adult to look at a transgender child and say, "I love you for who you are, and whatever happens, I am here"? What what does it take to suffer years in hiding and wishing for a better life? And what does it take to give and give and give while never giving to yourself? I know what that feels like. Hiding because it is safe, never speaking because it is safe, even sleeping because it is safe. And while time passes you and the world crumbles at your feet, you still wonder, what would happen if I stopped hiding, started to speak loud and clear, to sleep, but not forever? Happenings happen, so does time and space. The earth moves so slowly. But all the youth scream and cry for change. I ask you, I plead, I beg on my knees, please don't let them die. For every hateful comment you get, I will say, I love you. For every time your parents say that they will only love you if you are the assigned gender given to you at birth, I will say, I love you. For every single time you doubt yourself, I will say, I love you. This generation of youth must rise against prejudice and ignorance. But it is not only their word, it is our word. And so I ask you, what does it take for one adult to look at a transgender child and say, I love you for who you are, and whatever happens, I am here. Thank you.
Morning. My name is Jacqueline Corey. My pronouns are she, her. You may have seen me a few times up here before interpreting. And as an interpreter, I know all too well that words can have multiple meanings. Take the word transparent, for example. Transparent, having thoughts, feelings, or motives that are easily perceived or detected. It's an adjective. It's a way of being, and it's open to public scrutiny. She was transparent with her feelings about the situation. Meaning number two, transparent, the parent of a transgender child. A noun. A title, one that is often unexpected, but comes with great privilege. She didn't know it at the time, but she was about to find out that she had been given the gift of being a transparent. Today I would like to offer you a transparent list of the top three things I have relearned from being a transparent. Now, none of these relearnings are new to me. That's why I call them relearnings. It's just that now that I've experienced them in an entirely different light, their depth has grown and their importance has been reinforced. So, relearning number one. Family doesn't always mean that you are blood or otherwise related. When my child socially transitioned nearly 5 years ago at the age of six, meaning that although she was born with male body parts, she started wearing clothing that people would deem to be more feminine. She grew her hair out, and she changed her name, though not yet legally. The people that gave us the most grief, the ones who disowned us, the ones who tried to bribe my child to wear clothing that was more appropriate, the ones that started ridiculous rumors, they were all people that I had previously considered to be my family. On the other hand, the individuals that stood up for us when others attempted to spew copious amounts of negative energy into our lives, the people who offered a listening ear, a shoulder to cry on, a hug, or a smile, were almost always those that I had not previously considered to be my family. It actually happened here once at the UU, prior to Reverend Christina. There was a song that just happened to be one of my daughter's favorite songs, and I just lost it after the service, and I was trying to contain myself, and I went to the bathroom, and to this day I don't know who it was, but some woman gave me the best hug. It was phenomenal. So what my definition of family was changed. I now define family to be anyone who is loving and supportive of my and my children's life path and to whom I reciprocate that love and support. Pretty simple. Relearning number two. Although it's good to prepare for things in life, and I would highly recommend it, life isn't always going to go as planned. In fact, most of the time, it won't. Find the good anyway. Things that are unexpected will happen, and they will happen often and continuously. My child's situation, while at first a bit surprising, has allowed me to do so many things I never thought were possible. I've stood up to a school district, I became a surrogate, I gave a TED Talk. All experiences that I wouldn't take back for the world. I also got the benefit of having what I like to call a shield of truth. So I'm divorced, and every time that I would go on a date or try to establish any other kind of relationship in my life for that matter, I would mention that my child was gender creative, and it only took milliseconds for me to weed out the people that would never work. Let me tell you, it's a really effective mechanism that I wish all of you could have. Life may not always go the way that you planned, but oftentimes, if you can make it through the learnings, roll with the punches, stay flexible enough to give and take and grow and change, it will end up a million times better than you had ever initially conceived it could. Relearning number three, you are stronger than you think and smarter than you believe. Looking back at some of the trials that we've overcome, one may have excused me without any judgment if I had decided to commit suicide, which, let me be clear, was never a thought in my noggin. But I'm going to tell you, it got really bad, understatement of the century. Yet, here I stand today before you, as living proof that strength exists. It exists in all of us. And if it got that bad for me, I can't even imagine what it must be like to be trans. They're here as well. Never give up hope. Take breaks when needed, but don't ever stop. The turtle still moves forward, however slowly. It still makes progress. Sometimes progress means two steps back before three steps forward, and that's okay too. Sometimes progress means seeking support and asking for help. So reach out when you need it and help others when you can. You already have all of the answers that you need to make it through anything that life throws at you, deep inside of you. Dig. Find them and dig without excuses. Dig without embarrassment. Dig proudly. Dig loudly. Get digging. Side note, and I told Brian this earlier, I'm sitting at home going, what am I going to wear today? And I knew, like innately, it needed to be red. Because for me, it covers all of the bases we need to cover today. It covers being frustrated and passionate, but most importantly, it covers being loving.
Brian again. I experience gender within my body in the same way that emotions are in my body. According to neuroscientist Lisa Barrett Feldman, emotions are taught to us humans experientially. A parent reacts to their infant's laugh. Who's a happy baby? And not only does laughing begin to associate with happiness in the developing brain, but all of the sensations and physiological experience of the moment, whether conscious or subconscious, begin to bind to the concept of happiness. This is repeated, and over time, the brain learns to apply the concept of happiness by making predictions based on feedback from the body. But the parent did not appear out of a vacuum with happiness. This concept was part of the parent's culture, which maintains emotions, defines and refines them, and even makes new ones. This is what really surprised me about Barrett Feldman's theory of constructed emotion. Culture in giving us language for our emotions is part of our brains, but the integration with our sensations in constructing emotions makes it part of our bodies. It's still kind of surprising to me. Culture is physically inside of us. It's in our tensed, indignant muscles, our fluttery, lovesick stomachs, our bounding, terrified hearts, and our bellowing, gleeful lungs. It's inseparable from us. So that's the research from Barrett Feldman's book, How Emotions Are Made. Here's where I begin to speculate. I believe that gender concepts are like emotion concepts, because like emotions, genders are things that are taught to us, maintained by our culture, and we become them. I believe that there are elements of gender that are subconscious and tied into our bodies, just like emotions, and that this adds fluidity to all of our gender identities. So what do I feel like? Assigned male at birth, I've had manhood and masculinity applied to me while wondering at various times during my life why I felt more feminine, or did I feel an absence of masculinity? In adult life, I've experienced questions and comments from others expressing their confusion about me. Is Brian a gay man? Was Brian assigned female at birth? To be honest, despite the rudeness of such questions from strangers, this felt validating. Like, hey, I'm not the only one not quite sure about this. I feel, am, and embody genderqueer. That's the concept I've selected from a list of available ones that also includes agender, third gender, non-binary, and one I enjoy from the writer Ivan Coyote, gender retired. And speaking about gender for years, and they're kind of tired of it. I like genderqueer because I can shorten it to queer and cover my bisexuality too. It's efficient. I'm in IT. I really like optimization. But I'm more than a confusing presence for restaurant and retail staff, men who choke on their catcalls, and for nosy friends of friends. Feel free to approach me for a getting-to-know-you conversation. I'm up for making friends. My pronouns are they, them, their. Just a little tutorial. If someone asks you where Brian is, you can say, they usually sit in the back by the sound booth. Do not approach me for a gender conversation. I don't need to be told that I'm a sensitive feminine or tender man. And I trust your local librarians to direct you to their best resources for learning more about gender. I might be on the library board. I don't.
My name is Willow. I have been out as a transgender person for 15 years. I've also been a member of this fellowship for 15 years. They are two very different, very big things. But what they have in common is me. Not just my presence in them, but how they have shaped and guided my life. They are my roots, the big rocks in the jar of my life, and the roots of the tree of my being. But they aren't the only things in my life. There are the pebbles and layers of rings, relationships and jobs. And there's the sand, the sap that runs through my veins, all the media I like, and the random things I do for fun. Being transgender influences a lot of these, impacting everything from career choices to what I like to read for fun. In the beginning, when I was just planting my roots, it was the big thing. It was the elephant in the room that dominated almost everything, every waking moment. But in 15 years, I found a lot of other stuff. Things that might have been brought to my attention by my gender or my theology, but now which form their own component of my life. If I suddenly stopped feeling transgender tomorrow, some things would change, but not a lot. I would keep the job I have, keep my friends, and come here as often as I can. I would read the same books, play the same games, watch the same movies. In the coming months, I'm undertaking what many see as the last step in their gender journey. Such a major shift begs the question of what comes after. What else is there to life? I'm not bothered by this question. I know what the answer is. What comes after is all those other little bits that I'm doing right now. Some things will change, but not the little things that fill my day or the questions I ask to keep busy. This is what life is. Not one big tree-shaped rock, but a true tree made out of millions of cells flowing and moving. I am transgender, but I am also a tree. Vibrant and alive with a million different cells, branches, and roots. In short, I am alive.
Let's have one last big round of applause for everyone who shared.
Thank you to those of you who chose to share this morning, and please know that I did extend the invitation for participation in this service to other folks. Not everyone wanted to participate, and that is fine. It is not the job of trans people to educate cis people. As a cis person, I have worked hard to educate myself by reading, by listening, and I know I have a long way to go. So because this service is about centering and celebrating the voices of trans and non-binary people who are here among us, we will not be having our usual time for congregational response. We want to end with their words. But centering, and this is important, does not mean hounding. Please do not confront these people after the service demanding education. Now, if they offer it, certainly, by all means, talk to them. Talk to them about their favorite color, the weather, life, movies. If they offer education, fabulous. Your job then is to listen and to learn, to be open, to be curious, grateful for the opportunity to expand your horizons. Unfortunately, this has been one of the side effects of the UU World article, is that trans people are reporting a much higher rate of cis people sort of cornering them in coffee hour and demanding education. And that's not fair, because as we see, transness is one piece of identity, and it's not their job to educate. I am so, so grateful anytime someone whose life is experience is different from mine wants to give me a glimpse into their world and their wisdom. And so with that, let us sing our short responsive song of gratitude, From You I Receive.